Music licensing reimagined.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DynaPros Fantasy Podcast. Week 3 of the NFL season already. I feel like I've been waiting for football to be back, and now 3 weeks into the season, it feels like it's almost gone. We've already seen a ton of big games, a ton of surprises already. I can't wait to see what Sunday brings. So let's just jump into it. I have got with me the host of the DGens podcast for all your gambling needs, Steve Big Bucks of Beta, Jason Money Mansman. Can you guys just give a quick introduction to you guys real quick? Can I hear you out there?
Yeah, Charles, I hear you loud and clear. And for those of you at home, I'm Steve Big Bucks of Beta. I'm the co-host of the Distinguished DGens podcast. You can check us out on x.com/DGensPodcast. Me and my co-host here, Money Mansman, who you'll hear from here in a second. We've been doing this gambling show for about, I think this is our third season, unofficially, second officially, where we've been streaming. So we're really excited to be on the show. Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for having us, Commish. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Money Mansman, you got anything you wanna throw out there for an intro?
No, it's really cool to be here doing something different. Like you said, we deal primarily with the gambling aspect of the NFL football season. We do a little player props action, but it's going to be very interesting doing a show that's really just focused on fantasy football. So excited to be here.
Yeah, and for our fan base out there, we are brought to you by the Winner Go Home Fantasy Football Dynasty League. We've been doing it for 13 years. These gentlemen are actually members of the board of that league, 12-team leagues, and 4 championships on this podcast right now. And would you believe it, I don't have any, and my opponents slash co-hosts have the other 4. Split down the middle, 2-2. They'll tell you about that anytime on the Distinguished DGens podcast. You'll hear about it. I promise you that.
And for the record, Jason Money Mansman only has this too because of me.
That is 100% true.
That is not true. That is not true. I only have 2 because of Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with Big Bucks over there. I feel like at least one of those belongs to him, Jay. Well, I'm sorry.
But speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Trell, I know we briefly talked about it on our show. But yeah, Thursday night football, I mean, Jesus Christ, what a fucking hot mess.
Yeah. I want to jump into that Thursday night game real quick. So Jets top Patriots, I know Big Bucks and I kind of took the same approach here, that the Jets just, they were going to take this game. New England didn't look like that. We'll bring Money Mansman in later to kind of bring that hat of shame back as to why he ended up going on the Patriots route. But looking at the stats from that line, Rodgers 27-35, 281 and 2 TDs. Allen actually led the carries only by a yard, 11 carries, 55 yards. Hall went 16 for 54. The Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson, 6 for 23. Their number one performer was 6 for 23. And for those guys who started him thinking that this was going to be a run heavy game, I am sorry. And I actually am going to throw it over to Money Mansman, who actually played him this week, to kind of talk about the impact that had. Go ahead, Money.
Yeah. To give you an idea, I have negative points headed into the Sunday slate. So that's a big impact. My apologies to anyone who played Ramondre. And we were talking about it on our show after the little shenanigans. really weird game plan for New England. I don't understand why they all of a sudden, first 2 weeks, they've been leaning on the run game. You're playing a hostile defense in hostile territory in New York, and you decide that this is the game on a short rest. You're going to air it out with Jacoby Brissett. It didn't make any sense. It's unfortunate. I think I was not alone in the Sharps who thought that Ramondre Stevenson might have a pretty big game. And so don't feel bad out there if you did like I did, because I think there were a lot of people who thought at the very least that Ramondre was going to get usage, and he just didn't.
Big Bucks, you got anything you want to add on to that game?
Yeah, just to circle back on that game plan aspect, it just seemed like the Patriots, for some reason, had a little more respect for this Jets rush defense than one would anticipate, especially considering how the Jets were performing. I mean, guys like Tony Pollard were having themselves a day. I think I said Jordan Mason from the San Francisco 49ers, you know, taking over for Christian McCaffrey. He also seemed to pop off. So I think the Ramondre Stevenson angle made all the sense in the world. Just seemed really weird that, like, all of a sudden this was the time you wanted to respect the rush and air it out. I thought that was also weird. But, you know, this is kind of a prime example in the betting world where sometimes you could have a great handicap. You could look at something and it could make all the sense in the world. But at the end of the day, we're just making really bold predictions, sort of like in fantasy. And, you know, it all goes great if it goes to the plan you think it's going to go to. But at the end of the day, it just kind of comes down to the game that you see on the field. And unfortunately, Jacoby Brissett remembered who he was at quarterback. And there's a reason he's probably going to get benched for Drake May in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and to kind of ride on that, first off, I definitely agree with that statement. It's fantasy football and betting are the same thing. At the end of the day, you're just making educated guesses to see what's going to happen. I can't say that I would have called Ramondre Stevenson having the kind of game he had. I figured that the Jets would commit a lot more to the run, seeing that they got burned on it weeks one and week two. But the Patriots, you know, and I kind of talked about it on the week two intro and all, when we went through those slate of games, we don't know what the Patriots are. Defensively, they look great. They kept Cincinnati in check. They had a great game plan last week. This week, they just, I can't tell you what happened. Rodgers, 280 yards. I believe it was a Mansman that was saying, you know, the Jets were going to force the run here, and running. I mean, they did decent on the ground game. They still had 100 yards, but Rodgers going 285. What are the Patriots at this point? Abeda, what's your inputs on that? What are the Patriots right now?
They're sort of like a statistical anomaly. This was supposed to be the worst team in the NFL, and they kind of came in the betting world against the spread. They were 2-0, played a close game against Seattle. Really, if you think about it, though, I would also argue maybe that the Pats were already a fraudulent team. They should have theoretically lost to the Bengals if it wasn't for that goal line fumble, and if it wasn't for that game against Seattle going to overtime. I mean, if you really think about it, this team was very close to already starting 0-2, and this line against the Jets probably would have been higher, and it probably would have been an entirely different conversation. So I think the Patriots are sort of kind of regressing back to the mean, where they're kind of regressing back to who they should have been at the beginning of the NFL season. We all sort of bought into the hype, but I think at the same time, the Jets were also a bit overhyped, but everybody forgets that Robert Saleh is still the head coach of the Jets, and that man has done literally nothing to redeem himself at this point. We're already seeing Aaron Rodgers kind of get head-to-head and butt-heads with him already, and it's only week three. So I think the Jets are on pace to do Jets things, especially when October comes rolling around. Mansman, I think you know the trend that I'm referring to there. But it's all going to come crashing down sooner rather than later.
Mansman, you got any thought on that?
No, I agree. I think bad coaching gets exposed in the end. And you always got to be careful, because what are the Patriots? I think they're maybe a little better than we thought they were going to be, but they're still the team we thought they were going to be. And I think sometimes it's like they play two close games to start the year. And I'll admit it, I think I fell in a little bit of a trap. Thought maybe New England was better than they were. And sometimes you need a game like the Jets game to kind of remind you that, you know what, the Jets and the Patriots, they aren't on the same level. The Patriots really are a one-dimensional team with no quarterback. So I think you got to be careful, really, week to week, trying to avoid big, massive takes. And look, we're struggling with that even on our own show. I think a lot of public bettors have had a difficulty to start the year. I think a lot of sharps are finding it difficult to start the year. So even same thing with fantasy. It's kind of the same thing. You got to try and level yourself and avoid the week to week, you know, crazy takes, because that could get you in trouble.
Wholeheartedly agreed, and I can only imagine the kind of trouble it gets you in on the betting side, especially when you're taking a player's line but not starting that player in fantasy. You know what I mean, Manfred?
I would know all about that. I do it all the time.
God damn, I didn't think you were going there already. Holy hell. Okay.
All right, so
I'll admit it,
Jen, so let's go ahead and matter of fact, I'm going to refer to you guys as the D-Gens, just to throw that podcast out there. Again, distinguished D-Gens, go and follow them streaming on StreamYard. They do live shows for anybody looking for betting advice, trying to get into the gambling scene on the sports betting. Go and follow these guys. Go and join their live stream. They put great advice out there. They have some questionable calls, but I promise you, you're going to win some money. These guys have their own organization, and you will get some money off these guys. With that being said, let's jump into the week 3 slate of games on our start sit advice. And with the first game on the roster is Giants Browns. Nick Chubb, Neighbors, Danny Dimes. I want to hear from a beta first on this one. You tell me what your thoughts are. Right now, Ford is decent. This could be a bounce back game for him. As far as Malik Neighbors goes, in my opinion, I think he's getting locked up this game. What's your thoughts?
I agree with you on the Malik Neighbors take. I mean, he really does seem to be the only serviceable weapon that Daniel Jones does have at this point. But I think, again, trying not to overreact from last week. And kind of like I told Mansman, week 3 for me is like a redemption week from overreaction week, which was week 2. Malik Neighbors had himself a great game last week, but he went against Washington, which was arguably the worst defense in the league so far this year. And Washington really only won that game because the Giants didn't have a kicker. So, you know, with that said, I think you remember Cleveland's defense, and you have a guy like a Dak Prescott in week 1 that looked decent, but his stat line is still under 200 yards. Don't recall him getting a passing touchdown in that game. I'm going to try and pull up his numbers now. But, you know, Daniel Jones, not as good as Dak Prescott. I don't even think he's as good as Trevor Lawrence, quite frankly. Dak had one passing touchdown, 179 yards, against that Cleveland front four in Cleveland. This is a disaster spot for the Giants, so I'm actually all over Cleveland here. As far as Jerome Ford goes, I'd be very careful, only because he hasn't really been getting a lot of attempts on the ground. He's only had 19 attempts all season, and that's in 2 games against Dallas and Jacksonville. I'm actually looking more towards, like, if I'm being quite honest, I look more towards like Amari Cooper bounce back. If you really want to get cute, maybe you could look at Jerry Jeudy if you're looking for flex. I know injury week has been hell. I know Amari Cooper hasn't really been good either. I mean, he's got 27 yards on the whole year, but this just feels like a bounce-back spot for Cleveland at home with the Giants on the road, non-conference spot. I just don't know if I see a lot of scoring in this. This was one of my 5 best bets of the week on our D-Gents, on our Distinguished D-Gents podcast. This was my under of the week. I took under 39.5 points in this game. And Money Manson, I'm going to ask him to clarify further his spot. I think we were on the same page here. But the only way you could is the receivers, but Deshaun Watson, he's still not there.
All right, sounds good. Mansman, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually have a bet on this game already. I would play, but to give it more fantasy advice, I'd be looking Giants receivers for the most part under. And I would be looking at the Cleveland receivers, specifically the aforementioned Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper. I'd be looking for them over. talked about it in our show. Deshaun Watson, I think in his last five week three games, has thrown for over 260 yards, and he gets a favorable matchup here. I bet over on the passing yards for him, which were set at 202. So this could be maybe the one week if you're desperate for like a filling quarterback. Maybe you look to a Deshaun Watson. Risky play, not suggesting you do it. But if you have no other option, I think he could be a viable one. And on the other hand, this is a dead under game for Daniel Jones to me. His line's at 182.5 passing yards. I've already bet that under. I think it was 186 last night, so I've been under on Daniel Jones. And, yeah, especially like a Malik Nabers, I agree. I think they're going to focus on him. This defense has the skill to lock him up, and I don't see the Giants doing a whole lot through the air in this game. I think this is going to be a big struggle for Danny Dimes, and I actually think there's a chance that Danny Dimes is benched in the fourth quarter. So I'm big on the Browns here. I'd be very scared playing any Giants in fantasy this week.
All right, so you just heard it there from Mansman and Abeta. Go ahead and sit Nabers this week. But Mansman, I actually want to hear your thoughts on the Ford move. So Ford, 75% of the carries last week, 44% this week. Do you think he's one that, even as a flex guy, are you just not starting him, or are you just keeping him flexed in?
I would look for other options, because I feel like this Giants, I feel like the Giants are going to be thrown on in this game. I don't know. Ford to me is just a guy who he kind of is starting to remind me of as Zamir White, a guy who's like decent as a sort of stream flex option, but not necessarily a guy who's going to do well in a primary role. He hasn't really lit up the stat sheet as of yet. And I don't know if I have Ford going completely crazy in this game. I think he's an option if you think the Browns are going to get up and maybe, you know, run out the clock late. Maybe he's going to get a bunch of carries, maybe get a goal line tutty. But other than that, Ford is not my favorite option, you know, this week.
All right, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. I agree with that. If you've got a better option, I know with some of these dynasty leagues, your average dynasty league is running 12 teams. It's going to be hard to kind of find that depth. But if you got to play them, I believe throw them in your flex spot. If you have another option, great, take it. Next game on the list, and I honestly don't understand. I know it's early for the NFL to be flexing games, but Eagles Saints. I believe that this has the potential to be a great game. Philly's defense is suspect. We saw it last week. Derek Carr, I have to start with him. Derek Carr, this year, through two games, and I believe we actually talked about it last week on the Distinguished Degens podcast, where we were talking about Derek Carr kind of just playing the same kind of Derek Carr game that he plays and that he played in Oakland. I feel like the deep shots, though, the attempts that they're taking on the deep shots, I really think it's going to do some damage to Philly in that defense. Mansman, let's go with you. Let's hear your opinion first on this one.
Yeah, it's finally time to play Raheed Shaheed. We were talking about how I think he's over 65 yards in his last four coming off of a win. And we were talking about the Eagles in our recap video on Monday night. Their defensive line has been a massive, massive disappointment. They just don't seem to be able to really get, like, any pressure. They struggle to really do anything against Kirk Cousins. And we're looking to fade the Saints in general. I think a regression to the mean is inevitable. I think if you're expecting Derek Carr to play at an MVP level all year, you're going to get burned. But I don't think this is the week. Eagles coming off of Monday Night Football, going to New Orleans. I think this secondary has the ability to get roasted. Still no A.J. Brown, so I think the Eagles are going to struggle, offensively. I think maybe the only Eagle I might be looking at again, just like I was last week, was Devonta Smith. So maybe that's a play. If I think if you have him, you start him. But other than that, I think there's definitely a potential here for the Saints to get loose. And I'm looking at this being another Rashid Shaheed week, and it would not surprise me if he gets another 60 to 70 yard touchdown in this game.
So are you throwing Carr in the starting lineup if you got him?
I think, yeah, against this defense, I think I'm throwing Carr in the starting lineup if I got him. I think I'm really throwing I think you got to throw all your Saints in the starting lineup at this point in this game, because I think this is a favorable matchup.
Big bucks.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to add on the Saints side. I'll just mention for the Eagles, no starting safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He also has not practiced this week due to a foot injury. He's possibly going to miss this game, too, against this former team. I don't think it matters. I think he's burnt toast anyways. So I think you start Rashid, start your Saints players. More specifically, though, and this is kind of counterintuitive, because I agree with Manson, Saints is, like, the side you bet on this week, despite the fact that, like, we're going to look to fade them later down the line. Jalen Hurts is still a starter in this league. I think he's a must-start if you have him at quarterback. You're going to get him, you know, back – you're going to get him in a dome game where weather isn't going to be an issue. He still had 13 rushing attempts in back-to-back weeks. He got 85 yards on a rushing touchdown last week on top of the one he threw. Now, the interceptions, I know, look bad on paper, but the last one was a toss-up Hail Mary, and that was his only mistake in that whole game. So I think the Green Bay game in Brazil was a bit of an anomaly considering it was in Brazil. So I'm looking at a Jalen Hurts, like, especially with all the injuries going around, I think if you need a solid 20 to 25, Jalen Hurts is your guy. So he's definitely a starter. Saquon, again, I think you do have to start him because it is Saquon Barkley. I'm just concerned about not necessarily his snap count. I just wonder how much this New Orleans defense is going to go with the rush prevention. We know Saquon can't catch for shit, so I don't think they're going to be so worried on that, despite the fact he has seen an increase in targets with A.J. Brown out. So other than those two, I mean, I think Dallas Goedert is still a sit unless you have nobody else. I wouldn't be starting Eagles defense for the foreseeable future. I will say, though, Rashid Shaheed, for those of you that play daily fantasy, I'm definitely like a amateur DFS player. Rashid Shaheed, $6,300 on the daily lineup. It's relatively low for his production. Definitely a good mid-level streamer. I have him in my lineup this week, so he's a must-play. Not really anyone else from the Saints or the Eagles, just specifically because of daily fantasy, their salary cap limitations. And everyone else is either way too high for their value or it's too low for the production I'm going to get.
All right, thank you for that one. So I think we're all in agreement here. Start all your Saints. Start Saquon, but just because you can't. You're good to roll with Jalen. But outside of that, don't touch that defense. Derek Carr's going to have a field day. I 100% agree with Man's been in a beta on that. Texans, Vikings, CJ, and Sammy Darnold. So the Vikings have been a bit of a surprise this year. Everybody for the longest time, Sam Darnold doesn't have it. And he really does look like he may have been a product of a bad environment. We know that Jefferson is back in this game. I don't know how much that hamstring is going to hamper him, if he's going to be on a snap count. Addison is out. Naylor is now going to be in that lineup. In terms of the Texans, Mixon is out. Abeda, who are you starting in this one?
It looks like according to RotoBaller, Justin Jefferson is set to start in week 3. So if he's playing, you're throwing him in. This is actually my dog of the week. The Vikings are a home underdog here in this spot, which makes no sense because not only are both these teams 2-0, the Vikings have never lost to the Houston Texans ever. And the Texans have been really bad lately against NFC opponents. They're 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 games. So I'm all over Minnesota in this spot, but I agree that due to the injuries, I'm not necessarily saying Sam Darnold is your QB1. I think for 2 quarterback leagues, you're definitely throwing him in. I would actually say the top players you need to throw in is Aaron Jones, which I know the numbers or the fantasy points won't really support it, but I think if Justin Jefferson is limited, that's really the only other weapon they have. Houston's rush defense really hasn't been tested all that well. I mean, they had Anthony Richardson, which I know he kind of ran all over them, but then it was Chicago. So we're getting like a real solid RB1 now that actually does get utilized in this offense. So I'm looking at Aaron Jones as a possible starter for this week. And then kind of on the flip side with Houston, again, like C.J. Stroud, I guess if he's your only option, you start him. But this looks like a letdown spot to me. Manzman, if you, I don't know if you have any other players you wanted to throw. I think you had a player stat for this one, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was Justin Jefferson. He's kind of an AFC killer. I think it was 133 plus receiving yards and like, six of his last eight games against the AFC. And we think, especially too, there's a trend with the over in these Vikings games where the Vikings as underdogs, I think five of the last six games have gone over. So it may be a bit higher scoring. I would also look at Stephon Diggs too. He's had at least 57 receiving yards in his last five. And Nico Collins was on limited practice this week, so Stephon Diggs may be an option as well going up against his former team. I actually have a bet in with a little Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs action in that game, so that's where I'd be looking. I think Stephon Diggs could be a sneaky wide receiver two or three this week.
Yeah, and just to kind of add on to that game, one of the names that keeps popping up all over the TikToks and the sports fantasy pages for Dynasty and Fantasy Football is Tank Dell may now be a playable option this week. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I know in our league personally, he cost a guy a game, so I don't trust him.
That asshole was me week one, and then week two. I traded him to your opponent in the hopes that he would defeat you, and it failed spectacularly. But look, Tank Dell, I think you have to hold on to him. I wouldn't start him, though, because you're right. There's a lot of fantasy gurus out there right now saying that Tank Dell is a flex spot right now. I've had him flex for 2 weeks. He's done nothing, unfortunately. I think the Stephon Diggs appearance has kind of taken away from his timeshare. I think Houston has just been learning to develop all the other weapons around, and there's just not enough to go around. But, you know, I don't think he's worth dropping yet.
All right, yeah.
I wouldn't drop him yet because you're an injury away from him being back. Although he does feel a little bit to me like the Buffalo Bills with Robert Foster, where when they were starting out, a guy like Robert Foster was like the Tank Dell who was getting a lot of touches. And then as the team got better, he sort of faded away down the depth chart.
All right, so
that won't surprise him. That happened.
All right, so you heard it here. Justin Jefferson on an automatic starter. You can't pull him out of that lineup. Giving our boy Diggs some love. Tank Dell, I wouldn't touch him. I think we're all in agreement. Don't touch him. If you got him, hold him, stash him. Don't start him. He could be the one that cost you a game again. Don't put yourself in that spot. Broncos Bucks. I have to jump over to a beta for this one because he is an avid Broncos fan. Our boy Bo Nix has been out there. He's shown flashes, but this does not look like the game for Denver. But I'm going to let a beta go ahead and take the lead on this one.
Yeah, this is where like I know there's a lot of similarities in fantasy and betting, but this is really where you split the difference. I think that, like, for Bo Nix, they're obviously making him throw the ball, so there's attempts. A lot of these catches have just been off sync with these Broncos receivers, and specifically tight end Greg Dulcich, who couldn't fucking catch COVID if he tried right now, which is really, like, part of the struggle. Denver lost both their games by a touchdown this year. But the way this team is operating and playing, it's just reminiscent of the Nathaniel Hackett era. So not only are the Broncos not bettable, I don't think any of the Broncos players are worth even playing this week whatsoever, literally until proven otherwise. We have a phrase on the podcast, and it's called auto fade, and it's just when they constantly disappoint you, you just fade them until they prove you otherwise. The Broncos are unfortunately this week in that territory for me, despite the fact that I think that like the Broncos have a really good record against Tampa. I think they're 7-3 all time. Baker is kind of coming off a sort of like tough road win, but Detroit got into their end zone 7 times and all they managed was 16 points. Not going to happen every week. Denver has had a really tough road schedule and they played against a tough Pittsburgh team who has probably the best front four in the league. So I think in a way this is a class relief. So, I mean, you're very, very, very desperate. Bo Nix is going to air the ball out. It's just whether they can catch it. I don't think they are. And the Broncos running back core, unfortunately, is just also too inconsistent. So I want nothing to do with them. I'll leave Mansman to go with the clock side because I've gone on long enough. But, yeah, Broncos are just auto avoid until further notice.
Yeah, I don't think you could bet against Tampa in this spot under a touchdown. Now, for the fantasy aspect, a couple things worthy of noting. Baker Mayfield, 4 straight games at home, over 280 passing yards. Also, Mike Evans, kind of an AFC killer as well. He has 4 straight 70-yard reception games against AFC opponents. I think Evans is good for a touchdown here. I think he's good for a big game. I think Baker's going to have a big game. It's weird because Denver's stats against the pass look pretty good. But if you remember, number one, Tampa doesn't run the ball that well. Number two, Seattle game one was able to throw the ball once they were able to get the run established. And even then, Seattle's not that great of a team. But those numbers are skewed because Justin Fields didn't throw the ball at all. So looking at it, I think the stats are a little skewed for Denver. I think Tampa is going to be just fine. And this is going to be a really tough spot for Bo Nix. I know we have a difference of opinion. I think Steve thinks that Bo Nix might get some garbage late. I think he's going to struggle against this Todd Bowles defense. Todd Bowles, very good against rookie quarterbacks. I think really you're auto fading anyone on Denver until future notice.
Hashtag Mount St. Mary's alumni, Todd Bowles.
Yeah, absolutely. Mount St. Mary's alum.
All right, next game on the slate, Packers-Titans. Willis up against his old team, Levi. This one, go ahead, Mansman, you kick it off.
Yeah, this was, I think we might have had a difference of opinion, Big Bucks. I am auto-fading the Titans until further notice. The Titans are one of the sharp bettors darlings for really from the beginning of the season, people thought they were going to be better and their 6.5 win total suggested. People are saying that they had 2 phony finals because Will Levis made boneheaded turnovers to throw the game away. And my personal thinking on it is it's not phony if that's who you are. I have dubbed Will Levis the discount Josh Allen because he makes bonehead plays like Josh Allen but isn't as good. And, yeah, my personal opinion is I'm not betting the Titans really at any point. And for this game especially as well, I like what the Packers did last week. There was a possibility of Jordan Love playing. I don't know. Has anyone heard any news? Is he definitively out?
I don't think it's actually been called yet. You just double check
Josh
that.
Josh Jacobs is on the injury report with a back injury, limited participant in practice. So that bears keeping in mind. I mean, I don't know. They were able to run the ball against the Colts, although I think everyone was able to run the ball against the Colts. This is a game for fantasy purposes I don't really want to have any part of. There's not really anything that's looking good in this particular game. I would just avoid it for fantasy purposes.
Yeah,
I have I have one player I would want to add in that's kind of been very quietly going under the radar. Tony Pollard, I think, needs to be your RB2 this week if you have him. He's been quietly producing sick numbers. Week two against the Jets, I know he had 62 yards, but he also had 6 targets on the receiving side, 5 catches for 40 yards. And the week before that, he got almost 17 points in fantasy. He's actually the number 13 ranked running back right now. And this Green Bay team, on the road, I'm not sure if they are as good as what we think they might be, which is where me and Money Manson differ. I will just elaborate that I also cannot bet the Titans. The Titans are like the Sharks' the hot ex-girlfriend with the Sharks, where it was like, no matter how good the sex was 5 years ago, no matter how they made you feel back then, it's been too much damage done now at this point. You've said things that you kind of regretted, but you also said things that were kind of true. And, you get to a love-hate relationship with this Titans team, and I'm on the side of hating them. And you could say they're phony losses all you want, but, it happens. Something like that happens one time, it's a chance. If it happens twice, it's coincidence. Once it happens a third time, though, that's a fucking problem. So I want nothing to do with this Titans team either.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of jump in there with you on that a bit. I'd be playing Pollard this week if you have to put him as an RB2 or a flex spot. 82 yards week one, 62 yards week two. I feel like this is going to be more of a running game. Malik Willis, just throwing wise, I don't think he's there yet. I feel like Pollard. Neither is Will Levis. So I feel like this is going to be a Pollard game. They're going to give him a shot to kind of take over this. Yeah, I'd say Pollard in a flex, and he could get a touchdown. He's had double digit points the last 2 weeks. I don't see him not getting double digit points again this week. I definitely agree. Roll with Pollard if you have to play anyone in this game. Pollard is the one to play. All right, next on the list, we're going to go Bears Colts. Anthony Richardson is, for all the hype that we saw in the offseason of Anthony Richardson's ready to take that next step, he had one good game week one, and he's looked terrible. This Bears defense is decent. They're not, great, and they're going to see a lot of time on the field because Caleb Williams just isn't the answer right now either. But Anthony Richardson is going to throw this game away. Mansman, what's your input on this?
Yeah, this was probably our biggest disagreement on the show. I'm on the Bears, not because Caleb Williams has been a bum thus far, absolute bum. But I'm on the Bears because of their defense. When you look at it, they beat the Titans single-handedly without scoring an offensive touchdown. They held Houston to 19 points Sunday Night Football in Houston. And I just saw the shit that Indianapolis put on film last week. Yeah, there is no chance that I'm backing Anthony Richardson or the Indianapolis Colts in any capacity, and certainly not as a favorite. So, I would not play anyone from the Indianapolis Colts this week. Honestly, if you had a Chicago Bears running back who you think was going to run the ball, that would be who you would play, because the Colts' defense against the run has been terrible. The problem is, I don't know, Swift hasn't been good. The Bears haven't really run the ball.
I was going to say, I believe it's the way they're using Swift that doesn't work. Let's see if they get that together this week, because they should be taking advantage of a very sus Colts' defense this week. Abeda, I need to hear your input, because if there was a disagreement, I want to hear your side of this.
Yeah, this is an asinine handicap by Money Manson, in my opinion. I completely disagree. Look, the fact of the matter is he made 2 of my points without really realizing it. Number one, they won a game without scoring an offensive touchdown. The week afterwards, they still didn't score any offensive touchdowns. The second point was, oh my God, if Chicago had a running back, they'd be great. They have a running back. His name is DeAndre Swift. The coaching is so terrible, they don't know how to utilize them. And now that they don't know how to utilize them, how are you only getting 1 point as a road underdog against this Colts team? Why? Because they laid an egg 1 week in week two? we kind of almost forget. And again, it's a divisional game. There's, we call it the flow chart, where there's divisional patterns and divisional trends. Okay, so like they had a close game against the Texans at home, which I think is my third point. The Colts being at home in the dome is going to make a difference for Anthony Richardson compared to having to go to Lambeau in Green Bay against, let's be honest, a better coach than Matt LaFleur. There is nothing on the Chicago team right now that I would want to bet. There is nothing that I would want to play in fantasy. Anthony Richardson, you live and die by the sword. I'm going to leave it at that with him. There's a reason I traded him in my dynasty league. Jonathan Taylor, again, like if running back is thin, you're obviously starting him. He's slowly warming up this year, I want to say. Like, I think he had a lot more production in week two compared to week three, despite the lower snap count. My play, and this is actually my my flex position in my DFS lineup that I'm going to be advertising. I'm actually going to advertise for Alec Pierce again this week. Back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. Back-to-back weeks, I think he has over 100. Back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. He has over 3 catches in each week, and he's going up against a Bears defense, which, albeit I think is better, he's still going to be that flex wide receiver 3 threat that I don't know if the Bears truly have an answer for. And even if they do stop Alec Pierce, they're going to have to still stop Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Thomas and all the other weapons that the Colts have. So for me, this is a slam dunk for the Colts.
So you're starting Pierce and Richardson is what you're saying?
I'm starting – if I have Pierce, I'm starting him in the flex. I wouldn't go any higher. But he's my DFS for my DFS lineup. His salary is only $5,800. For a guy with back-to-back touchdowns, the guy's clearly getting targeted. I don't know if he sees the end zone this week, but I know that Anthony Richardson is going to look his way. They're going to look his way on the deep ball, which I think is, you know, especially in the DFS lineup, you kind of have to find the guys that are going to be boom or bust. Alec Pierce is definitely a guy on the boom or bust list where you can live and die by that sword too. I'm going with him, though, this week. Back-to-back weeks. I was high on him when the Colts picked him up to begin with last year. So I really like the potential this kid has. So that's my flex guy. And Richardson, if he's the better quarterback you have and there's no one else out there, you're obviously starting him. But he's still too inconsistent for me to really advertise one way or the other.
All right.
Yeah,
well, there.
I would not do that.
Yeah. All right. You have it here. I say start Bears defense. Mansman says stay away from your Colts. But Abeta says give Richardson and give Pierce a shot. We'll see how it goes on Sunday. With that being said, like I said, make sure you guys go and check out the Distinguished Degens podcast. They are playing bets every game, every sport, you name it. They're throwing their hats in the ring and they're giving advice out to any of their fan base. So please make sure you follow those guys, give them a listen, check out their live series and jump in. And you can ask fantasy questions as well. They are giving fantasy advice over on the Distinguished Degens Pass podcast, streaming on StreamYard. Next game, Chargers Steelers. Pittsburgh's defense is, we know their defense situation. This is one, I think this is going to be a real test of the Chargers. Are they real? I don't see Dobbins having another 100-yard game. So he's one that I'm saying don't start him this week. I feel like Pittsburgh is going to make an example, kind of show that their defense is there. We know TJ Watt, and this, he's just been a game wrecker already, 3 games in. The Chargers, offensively, I haven't seen a lot with their pass this year. Greg Roman showing that, hey, while we've seen a couple new schemes that may have looked better than what they were in Baltimore, it's still the Chargers, and it's still Greg Roman's offense. We know that they're run heavy, and Pittsburgh just kind of feasts on that. Mansman, give me your inputs.
Yeah, this is this is a fantasy game where, God, honestly, I might be willing to play both defenses, but especially Pittsburgh. We talked about the possibility of a free roll, meaning basically where you can make a bet and it could be good, But then if something else happens, it could really almost be like a guaranteed lock. So you're almost sort of playing it because you might win anyway. And then if something happens, you might be guaranteed to win. There's a possibility Easton Stick is the starter for the L.A. Chargers this week. And I think Easton Stick on the road against this defense is a guaranteed win for the Steelers. So I think in like manner, I'm playing Pittsburgh's defense, or I'm preparing to play Pittsburgh's defense, because I think they could still be decent against the Chargers. They're coming back-to-back road spots out east. They stayed out east. They have a look-ahead spot, which Big Bucks aptly informed me about, playing Kansas City next week. So the Chargers might be down in this game anyway, but then you look, you sort of take it one step further. If Easton Stick plays in this game, I think the Steelers are potentially a 30-point defense this week.
Yeah, I like those numbers. I definitely like those numbers for Pittsburgh. Abeta, what do you got?
Pittsburgh Steelers, number 5 ranked defense on Sleeper right now. Back-to-back games with multiple sacks, back-to-back games with 2 interceptions, less than 300 yards allowed against both teams. I'm not sold on this Chargers team. I never was sold to begin with. I think Justin Herbert is going to go down as another quarterback on the list of mediocre average white guys at quarterback at all time.
You mean like a Phillip Rivers?
literally Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Brian Hoyer. I mean, I could go on. Kirk Cousins. Justin Herbert, I've never been sold on this guy to begin with. He is the 27th ranked quarterback this year in Sleeper. You cannot start this guy. You do not want to start this guy against this Pittsburgh team. Bo Nix threw the ball over 40 times against this team. Got sacked twice, couldn't get a single touchdown. J.K. Dobbins is literally the only weapon that Jim Harbaugh knows how to utilize, because he is somehow still stuck in his Michigan mentality in college, where he realizes he has a quarterback, but for some reason doesn't want to utilize him, which is crazy for me to think that J.J. McCarthy even got drafted in this league, because he barely did a damn thing for Michigan to begin with. But I'll digress. Why are we acting like Pittsburgh doesn't know Greg Roman? Why are we acting like that this is going to be a pick'em game? It's asinine to me. This line did jump up because of the news. If you were smart like me and got this game at a pick'em at -1.5, Manson's exactly right. This is a 3-roll game. This was my best bet of the week, so I laid a good bit of change on this Pittsburgh team to cover the 1.5. I'm probably going to bet more on it at 3, because if Easton Stick does roll around, this number's jumping up again to 5.5 in favor of Pittsburgh. So I really love this spot for the Steelers team. And also, too, I mean, Justin Fields, not exactly the most, you know, reliable quarterback in fantasy, but under Pittsburgh and under Mike Tomlin, minimal mistakes. No interceptions, he's had 2 fumbles, but, you know, no interceptions through the air. Has a pretty decent completion percentage. I know it's under 100. It's under 200 passing yards per game. So for fantasy, I don't think he started. But I mean, the guy's on a winning team. He's looked a lot better than we've seen him in Chicago. He hasn't been having to scramble and make as many mistakes as we're used to. Whereas I think Pittsburgh can just focus on stopping J.K. Dobbins. Again, so, with Dobbins, I say if you have him, good luck starting him. I wouldn't really – if I had other options, I'd be looking there. But, you know, I don't know how J.K. – I'd have to look it up. I don't know how J.K. Dobbins has done in the past against the Steelers team. Also, though, that was when he was with the Ravens. This is a Chargers.
Well, Dobbins hasn't played in years, so any statistics you found on him wouldn't even be relevant, because he has not played a full season in almost 3 years. This is his first season. And he's looked great. Pittsburgh is not going to be the answer. So I think we're all kind of in agreement on this one. Don't lay off of Dobbins while he's had while week 1 and week 2 look great. I'm not starting him this week. The Chargers don't have the answer on offense if Dobbins doesn't work out, or if they stuff the run. Go ahead.
to give you an idea with the stats, though, Dobbins has been really good against Pittsburgh, but again, this was with Baltimore. He averages 108 yards in all three of those appearances. He has one rushing touchdown, and in the very first game back in 2020, he had eight receiving yards, one catch. So, I mean,
2020, was that his last game against Pittsburgh?
No, that was his first game.
Oh.
That was his first game. But he didn't play last year, so his last game was January 2023, but that was the 2022 season. But even in that game, he had 93 yards. So, you know, I think you have to start him unless you have two other guys that are better. But, you know, be careful with that. That's my advice.
All right, 4 o'clock games. Dolphins, Seahawks. We know Skylar Thompson has got the starting role there. That is going to have a massive impact on guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. However, the backs in Miami should get a lot of love because we don't know who Skylar Thompson is. He was thrown into the game last week. The game plan was not called in his favor. But I still don't know if you can play. You almost have to take the shot. Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest guys in the NFL. So if he takes that deep shot, you could easily get a home run hit to make Tyreek's value worth it. Mansman, kick us off.
Yeah, this was probably the game I struggled with the most because Seattle has not been good as underdogs. But this was just one of those games where you kind of shrug your shoulders. I don't know if you've ever played poker and you know the other guy has the full house and you're sitting there with the flush and you're like, well, I know once I put the money in, I'm going to lose, but you kind of got to do it. That's what I feel like about this game. I feel like you're sort of, if you have Seahawks, you're probably going to have to play them. Although I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to play Charbonnet. Walker's out for the game, so it's going to be another Jack Charbonnet day. And he basically got 100% of the action last week. And I Miami has a few knocks coming out of that Thursday night game. And they're going on the road with a backup quarterback. And Big Bucks has some good numbers about how bad Skylar Thompson is. If you're looking for a quarterback to play, Skylar Thompson is not the guy to play this week. I think it's Seahawks or nothing. And maybe this is Geno game. Maybe Geno shows up. But normally Seattle doesn't have their best performances. They normally don't perform at their best as, favorites. As favorites, at home. So keep that in mind.
Big box.
Yeah, those Skylar Thompson stats. Sometimes he started. He's 1-1. He lost to Minnesota, only getting 13 attempts through the air, 89 passing yards. That other game, he did go 20 for 31 for 152 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. That was against the Jets. That was last year, second to last game of the year, when the Jets had Zach Wilson at quarterback. And I'm pretty sure Zach Wilson even got benched in that game because of how bad he did. If I remember correctly, that was a Thursday night game, too. And it was so bad that Zach Wilson got booed out of the stadium. In two other games where Skylar Thompson came in, still no touchdowns, one interception. Both those games were losses, too. So, yeah, I mean, Skylar Thompson is who we think he is. The guy is not a winner. I don't know why you would think to bet on Miami in this spot on the road going all the way to the West Coast. Unless the idea is that Geno Smith isn't as good as he is, but I think Geno has proven time and time again in Seattle that he's at least good enough to beat the starter out there. He's good enough to game manage this team to a win. Kind of like what he did against Denver, even despite the struggles, you know, he managed to pull the victory out of his ass in that game too. And I think that's something that can happen here, even if the team does struggle. So I would be looking at Zach Charbonnet running back as the starter. DK Metcalf is a must start, and I'm not just shooting my own horn because I have him.
Who are you starting?
The guy is getting.
So are you starting any? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, DK Metcalf is a must-start, and, I mean, you kind of have to start Tyreek, but I wouldn't expect a lot of output from him with Skylar Thompson at quarterback. I love DK, though. That's going to be, like, my top fantasy play this week. Not only is he back to life in this offense, he's getting his dream matchup against Jalen Ramsey, a.k.a. Burnt Toast.
All right. Next 4 o'clock game, I'm not even going to dive into it much. I'll definitely hear you guys' opinions on it. Panthers, Raiders, start your Raiders. start your Raiders flat out. The Red Rifle, I don't care that Bryce Young was benched and Andy Dalton's now to start. What have they shown me? Dalton is well past his prime. The Panthers don't have anything offensively going for them. And the Raiders are going to have a field day. Does anybody else have a different opinion that they want to throw against that?
No, we don't.
I'll be quick. I went on the very same tangent for the betting purposes. Raiders are nothing betting-wise. Andy Dalton's a loser. He's not a winner. That's why. But we're going to talk about fantasy here on the show. The last time he did start, he ended up getting 300 yards in the air. Adam Thielen being his number one target with, I think, 11 catches, over 100-plus yards. I think there's better options out there, personally. I think there's better options for streaming, especially for daily fantasy. However, I think if you're desperate and you're looking for a long shot to get a good win, I think repeating the Adam Thielen line is a possibility. So I feel like he's going to be a free agent out there in a lot of leagues. So I'd be looking at picking him up, especially if for whatever reason Carolina does pull away with the win in Las Vegas. And now if Thielen does have a good game, he's going to be the number one waiver wire picked up the week after. So I think if you could jump on it early, that's the move you make. The only other player is Zamir White. There's a lot of talk that Money Management could get into real quick because he's more of a Raiders follower than, you know, I ever will be. But there's a lot of talk that Zamir White is going to be getting more touches on the ground. So I like to see that kind of news. That's a guy that I think you could possibly throw in the flex. But otherwise, we can move on.
All right. Mansman, I'm assuming you don't have anything else to throw onto that one.
Just real quick on that one. I get anyone who's out there thinking about Andy Dalton, I get it. I was in that position a year ago when Andy Dalton was playing against the Seattle Seahawks. Same thing. Bryce Young got hurt or for whatever reason he wasn't starting. And I was like, oh, yeah, Carolina, I'm on that side. And then they lost the game by 10 in Seattle, got completely mollywopped. I learned my lesson. Big Buck saved me. The Raiders.
Good call. Good call out. All right, next 2 4 o'clock games. 49ers, Rams, Lions, Cardinals. I think that Lions-Cardinals game is going to be a huge one. We'll start 49ers, Rams. 49ers have a lot of injuries this week. Debo Samuel is now down. They're still without Christian McCaffrey. Right now, Jordan Mason looks like he's going to get a ton of carries. Brandon Ayuk is now going to get a lot of receptions targeted his way, but they're just going to double him up. However, the Rams defense carved up last week by Arizona, which is why I wanted to go over these games together, because Arizona did take advantage of LA. Big Bucks, what are you thinking on this one? Who are you starting? Who are you sitting?
Jordan Mason is a must start. That's mandatory start. I also believe he's a mandatory start in DFS. I know you're going to pay the premium in DFS right now on FanDuel. He's an $8,300 salary, which is, I think, quite literally, I think he's number three I'd have to double check here. He's number four right now in the ranks of most expensive running backs this week. But, you know, George Kittle's looking like he's not going to play. Deebo Samuel's out. I mean, the only other weapons you have to worry about is Brandon Ayuk and John Jennings. This looks like an all-day Jordan Mason game, especially against a Rams team who really, I mean, they couldn't stop anything in the air, but I think they might refocus that. And generally speaking, Kyle Shanahan, coach for the Niners, owns Sean McVay. Kyle Shanahan owns the Los Angeles Rams. Kyle Shanahan has a stake in SoFi Stadium. That's how much he fucking owns this team. So you start, I think you even start Brandon Ayuk. You could start Brock Purdy. The Rams, you could look at running backs, do that at your own peril. I personally wouldn't, but you could. Niners defense is a sneaky play if you really think that the Rams are now trash on offense and that Stafford can't get it going this time just because of all the injuries. And, like, we kind of saw the difference without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And normally Matt Stafford can make anybody weapons, but I am just concerned that Father Time is finally calling up to him.
Mansman, what's your input on this one?
Yeah, I'd be careful with this game. This was one of our underplays. The difference with the Niners offense when Deebo Samuel plays as compared to without is night and day. I think you got to understand that. And I mean, I'm gonna keep it pretty straight up for the listeners. I think this is an under game. If you have Brock Purdy, I don't think this is the game to start him. I think Jordan Mason is probably the safe play in this game. And the Rams, I think there's so much fluctuation, so many questions regarding that offensive line. I would not want to delve into this game too far. I think this is a dead under game. It's not really a game that I like all that much. I'd preferably avoid it, to tell you the truth. I would not mess with this game.
All right, sounds good. And then some quick hits on that Lions-Cardinals game. Again, we saw Kyler Murray have a great day against the Rams defense. Detroit is not the Rams. I don't see Kyler having the kind of first half he did. I believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get a lot of looks. You may have to start him in a flex this week just because I believe he's going to get a lot of attempts. He made a statement after that game last week that kind of stood out to me, talking about how Kyler only had four incompletions and the four were to him. So I believe that Marvin Harrison is going to make a strong attempt this week to make sure he catches everything. And in those half point and PPR leagues, he's got to be one that you're playing. McBride is still one you've got to start because they're going to get those looks. And for Detroit, Amon-Ra, my thoughts, you can't pull Amon-Ra out of that lineup. Jameson Williams saw some flashes last week. I believe that he's going to take advantage. The Lions have a lot going for them offensively, so I believe that you got this might be a game where you got to play who you got in this game, because I believe it may be a high-scoring game. Abeta, what's your input?
This game, I'm not taking anything with Kyler Murray's name on it after they just won a game. This Arizona is the worst team you can bet on, let alone back after they've won any matchup in the past two seasons, I want to say it is. They beat up a very injured Rams team. The Detroit Lions, with all their faults and deficiencies, they're still the better team here. This, to me, is the most giant letdown spot of all letdown spots. So my lineup I'm advertising is very, very Detroit-heavy. I'm starting Jared Goff at quarterback because I think he's going to be able to air the ball out. I'm starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm also starting Jameson Williams at both my wide receiver spots. And I'm even going to be – look here, and I'm going to flex David Montgomery at $7,100 right now. Jameson Williams, you're getting at a low premium of $6,300. Goff, I think, is only 75, relatively low for someone of his stature. So I'm Detroit heavy on this lineup because I just think that they're going to completely whip the shit out of this Cardinals team. Now, I will say, if you watch that Arizona game and you watch the Tampa-Detroit game, you saw Chris Godwin and Mike Evans go yard against this Detroit defense. So I'm not starting or advertising you start Detroit's defensive side. There is a lot of individual defensive players on Detroit. Aiden Hutchinson, Anzalone is another guy that you could look at if you play IDPs. But otherwise, for me, it's a very – you start everyone in Detroit. Cardinals receivers, it's, again, Marvin Harrison. Greg Dortch is a sneaky plus I think you could look at. Kind of like if you think about the logic with last week with Tampa, they shut down Mike Evans, so they went to Chris Godwin. If they shut down Marvin Harrison, I think they go to Greg Dortch next. Management, I think, is going to have a different opinion of this. I think this is where we differed, but I'm all in on Detroit in this spot.
No, me too. I mean, this was my fade of the week. I've been hearing the Sharps gobbling up the Arizona Cardinals that all of a sudden they're so good. Are they a playoff team? This is the worst team off a loss in the last two seasons. I think it's like over 10 straight. They've lost and not covered following a win. Meanwhile, Detroit, the past two seasons, the best team to bet on after a loss. Jared Goff, three of his last four games against the Cardinals, 300 yards plus passing. Like, this is going to be a dead over game. I think it's going to be a crazy game. It's going to be fun, but I think Detroit's getting this one done. I'm all on Detroit. I agree 100%. I think David Montgomery scores a touchdown. I'm actually throwing a bet on a David Montgomery anytime in one of my in my Detroit-Arizona parlay. I got Jared Goff over passing yards. I think really any Detroit, J-Mo, I think Amon-Ra, I think they could all feast. Arizona, I'm a little more hesitant. I think they can get yards because I think it is going to be an over game. But I don't know if I'd be less hesitant to play Arizona because I think Detroit's going to get it. But I think this is going to be an over game. Arizona games at home tend to go over, and I think there's going to be another over.
Yeah, Kamish, we haven't really heard too much of your opinion here. You've kind of been letting us go. So, like, curious to get your thoughts on this one with these players.
Oh, I opened with mine already. I told you, my belief is you got to play Harrison in the flex because I just feel like they're going to force targets his way. McBride is a got-to-be start. But I also agree, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra, Gibbs, Montgomery. I believe this is going to be a high-scoring game. Cardinals are just going to be trying to keep up. Detroit's going to bring the onslaught. You have to play. If you got the big names on either of these teams, you got to play them because they're going to get the looks. It's going to be a matter of if they can convert them, but the looks are going to be there. I have this as a high-scoring game. I'll be shocked if they don't hit the over. Last 4 o'clock game, and this is one that I've been dreading dealing with. Ravens-Cowboys.
You guys finally going to win a game? You better. You know who you got next week.
Yeah, I know.
You know Buffalo's record against the Ravens.
So, I know. So this game for me is a bad one. And it's bad because I'll go over Lamar's game last week. Lamar's game last week, minus that 55-yard run that salvaged his fantasy value, he was only going to have 14 points. Dallas's defense got slapped around last week. Do they bounce back this week? Zay Flowers is going to get all his looks that he knows he can get. So in this game, you've got to start Zay. I can't tell you if I'm starting Lamar. I can't tell you if I'm starting Dak. Baltimore's defense has done great for the first three quarters, and then they fall apart in the fourth quarter. Dallas has an explosive offense, and then they don't have an explosive offense. We know the running game situation there. It's heavily running back by committee, and you're going up against Baltimore's D. But Baltimore on the other side, Derrick Henry just had a 97-yard game last week, but his game before that was mediocre. Micah Parsons is going to be there anchoring this. This is a game that I can't tell you if I'm comfortable playing outside of Zay Flowers and I believe CD's actually injured for this game. Does anybody know if he's actually been ruled out yet?
Let's see.
if CD is not playing in this game, I still can't tell you if I'm comfortable playing.
Yeah, he's got an ankle.
Yeah, I still can't tell you if I'm comfortable playing Baltimore's defense, just because Baltimore's defense at times has looked suspect. They gave up a ton of yards to Gardner Minshew. I mean,
I will say this, though. So, first of all, CeeDee Lamb is off the injury report. It looks like he is starting. This game has dropped back down to a pick 'em. Gardner Minshew is one of those weird flowchart situations I brought up earlier, albeit this isn't a division matchup. For some reason, Gardner Minshew just tends to show up against Baltimore. We don't know why. And I think it's AFC North teams in general. For some reason, he just shows up. We're not sure why. So I kind of consider that an anomaly. Trell, you fake Ravens fan. I thought you were better than this. No faith in your boy, Lamar Jackson.
It's not that I don't have faith in them. Baltimore has never looked like this. Our offensive line, and it's something that I actually believe you guys talked about weeks ago.
Yeah.
Offensive line was going to be a problem. And Baltimore historically has done good with subbing players in and out on that offensive line. We've had issues across that offensive line over the last couple of years. The three linemen that they have in now are destroyed. Max Crosby was in the pocket longer than Lamar was last week, and that is a problem. That is a problem. We saw the same thing with Chris Jones. He was in the pocket longer than Lamar was last week. Micah Parsons, again, those are two critical guys to their defenses. Micah Parsons is that same kind of player. I can't tell you that Baltimore has a game plan that's going to stop Micah Parsons from now dancing in that backfield. And that is why I'm telling you, I don't know if you can start Lamar this week, because he didn't run a lot last week. And I believe that there is some soreness going on. He missed practice week one a couple times week one after that week one game. They didn't say much about it. But then we noticed during week two that Lamar only took off three times. He did not run that ball a lot after he just ran 17 times. There obviously something had happened that they have not made public, or they're just trying to keep under wraps. And I don't know if it's a lingering. I can't tell you what's going on. If this is a game where Lamar has to run 20 times, he may not walk out of this game or he may not complete this game without landing on an injury report. So I will back my decision that playing Lamar, this could be a great Baltimore's game, but I don't know what the situation is with Lamar. Baltimore has not been upfront about it, but after what we saw last week, Lamar could have taken that game. Why didn't he? So I 100% agree with my decision to, if you got to play Lamar this week, if you don't have another option, you got to play him. But Zay Flowers is the guy that I'm saying you play him this week. If CD's in, I'm saying play him as well. Marlon Humphrey is getting cooked. He is past his prime, unfortunately. We're waiting for Nate Wiggins to start showing up in practice, and he's still got to adjust up to NFL game speed. So if CD is out there, you're playing him. Brandon Cooks, I don't know. I feel like the matchup between Cooks and Steven is going to be a great one. Don't play any Cowboys running backs. Derrick Henry, you're going to have to play him as well. Mansman, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those Dak Prescott feast games. I think it's going to be a lot of throwing the ball. This was tough because I feel like this is a toss-up game. Now, Lamar Jackson is the NFC killer, but the Ravens haven't covered their last six on the road against the NFC East. So that's something to keep in mind. The NFC East seems to be, or NFC East on the road seems to be the one chink in the Lamar Jackson NFC armor. And I don't know, in a toss-up game, I went with the Cowboys because I think they're going to be able to throw on this team. So that's how I see this game going.
Yeah, I mean, that argument gives you an over perspective on the points. The Dallas defense is also terrible. I mean, they gave up 230 yards to Deshaun Watson, and really that could have gone better.
And garbage time, though.
And in garbage time. New Orleans fucking mollywopped this Dallas Cowboys defense in their own stadium. And Alvin Kamara, running back, got 115 rushing yards. got 65 catches, 65 yards through the air. Jerome Ford, we brought him up earlier. He had himself a decent game, even though the Cleveland Browns lost. He had 65 yards against this this Cowboys defense. For me, like, I understand the Lamar Jackson hesitancy, but if it's me, this is the week you're looking to start Derrick Henry. Maybe if you want to get cute in the DFS lineup, you look at Justice Hill and maybe think about flexing him at such a low number and stacking up on the higher level of players at wide receiver and quarterback to be able to spend more money there. Because I have a feeling this Ravens team has been really not been able to utilize their run offense as much as they normally are used to.
That offensive line.
Spot where, yeah, I know. That offensive line has been struggling. For the pass protection, I think that makes sense. I don't see this as a Lamar Jackson airing the ball out kind of game. This, to me, feels like a Derrick Henry game all game, where they're just going to run the rock, they're going to pound the rock into the Cowboys' D-line, and they're eventually going to break
through. Derrick Henry, though? Derrick Henry is not Derrick Henry.
I agree, and I agree with that, because Derrick Henry, old-school Derrick Henry, he didn't really need an offensive line. You weren't tackling him on the first tackle. Baltimore's offensive line has allowed Derrick Henry to get touched, and every time he gets touched, he's going down. It's just, go look at the games.
He's had a touchdown in back-to-back games, 84 yards against the Raiders.
He got the first touchdown in the game against the Chiefs, and after that, he was silent. The game against the Raiders, Baltimore was just trying to figure it out, and I think Derrick Henry had a good drive. I'm pretty sure up to that point, it was the same thing. He would hit the line, and then he'd just get dropped. Now, I agree. This is a Derrick Henry game, because if there's something going on with Lamar, it's going to be a Derrick Henry type of game where they're just going to force feed him. He's going to get the carries. That's what Baltimore brought him there for. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and for me, this is a Baltimore all game. I think the Cowboys are very, very fraud. They're on fraud alert. I'm not going to say they are frauds, but they have not looked nearly as good as one would anticipate this year. I didn't think they looked all that impressive against Cleveland. That was more about how much Deshaun Watson sucks. And also, too, the angle of the Ravens are 0-2. Can they afford a third loss?
The
Cowboys have a look ahead for Thursday Night Football where they're going to get the New York Giants. That's a team they always beat down and get revenge on. So I have a feeling this is a spot where the Ravens are just going to mollywop the Cowboys, and then the week after, Thursday night, the Cowboys are just going to pipe down Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that, because if Baltimore Baltimore cannot afford this loss. Baltimore takes this loss, Harbaugh's on the hot seat. He's already that seat's pretty well warm right now. Baltimore has not been 0-3 in the last 4 years. We have never gone 0-3 in the last 4 years. We go 0-3, Harbaugh's on the hot seat immediately. Fans have already been, there's been a lot of noise calling for his head, rightfully so. The calls he was making last week were just disgusting. If we go 0-3, he is 100% on the hot seat. He may not make it through the end of the season. All right, our last Sunday game to call. Our last slate of games for Sunday is the Chiefs Falcons. I'm upset that this game is on a Sunday night game. I give Kirk Cousins his respect. This is where there are so many other games happening this week that really could be in this spot. Chiefs defense has been strong throughout the start so far. You got to play Chiefs defense. However, Carson Steele, I'm sure a lot of people just picked him up on that this week. Man, congratulations due to the gentleman in our league who had the number one waiver wire pickup screwing up and missing that, landed Carson Steele. But the loss of Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, I think he popped up on the he didn't pop up on the injury report, but Xavier Worthy's been silent after that first game, where of course it was Baltimore that allowed him to have a great game. Kelsey's been quiet this week. Mahomes is Mahomes. You got to play him because he's good for at least a touchdown a game, and he's going to rack up a ton of yards. Mansman, start us off.
The Falcons were 99% to lose Monday night. And I feel like this is one of those games where you ask yourself, you know, what would the line be if they had lost Sunday night or Monday night, excuse me, against the Eagles? So with that, I think the Chiefs are really the only play in this game. Now, looking at it from a fantasy perspective, yeah, I think I am looking to Carson Steele, especially because he's gotten goal line carries. So I think you're looking maybe at a Carson Steele anytime touchdown, try and get the rookie a touchdown in prime time. I know Big Bucks has some good stats, that Pat Mahomes isn't great in prime time, but the Falcons have not been good against AFC opponents. The Chiefs, all they seem to do is find ways to win. It's probably Chiefs or nothing, but I think this is a pretty – my guess is that this would be a pretty straightforward fantasy play, in that I think if I was going to play my guys anyway, I'm probably playing them, because I think this is going to be like a, I don't know, 24-17, 24-20 type game, not necessarily crazy one way or another. So I think I'm probably, if I was going to play my fantasy football players, I'd probably play them anyway.
Let me ask you a quick question before we jump over to a beta on one specific player. Are you playing Drake London this week?
I am not going to play Drake London this week. I feel like Atlanta's game plan is going to go up the middle. I think it's going to be Pitt, it's going to be Robinson, it's going to be Algier. I mean, I think London could do okay, but I don't see London going off for 85 yards and a touchdown. I think if I have other receiver options, I'm looking at them.
Agreed.
If 100. I have to play London, I think you'll do okay.
Agreed 100%. London, he had a decent game last week, but that was salvaged by that last second touchdown against a suspect Phillies defense. You don't see that this week against the Chiefs. Don't play him. Abeda, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Pat Mahomes, I think he's 1-3 ATS in his last Sunday night football games. If we remember, there was a spot last year when they played Green Bay against Jordan Love. And I think the Chiefs were like, I want to say they were like 10-point favorites, and they ended up losing outright. For some reason, of all the primetime games, like primetime Kirk Cousins is a thing. He's coming off of a Monday Night Football win, where let's be honest, he probably shouldn't have. And now we're getting him in back-to-back primetime spots. That's not a spot you want to take Kirk Cousins in. I will say, though, the passing potential for Kirk Cousins in this game kind of makes you reconsider the fantasy side, where maybe you do play him and take a risk. But unfortunately, I just haven't seen enough in the first 2 weeks where I can really advertise that. Patrick Mahomes is the must start. I do love me some Carson Steele this week. He is actually my RB2 in my DFS lineup. Low $5,700 salary cap. He is now going to be the number one. He's going to definitely get the carries. I don't know if he does as much as Pacheco, but at that low of a number, you kind of have to throw him in and, you know, stack up on the other sides of things. Yeah, I mean, it's Kansas City or nothing for me on this spot, but I'm not nearly as confident as Money Manson is.
All right, appreciate it. Well, gentlemen, you heard it here. I can't wait to tune in on Sunday and see where the start sit calls settle out for Sunday. It's going to be a great Sunday slate of football games. I'm not looking forward to that Sunday night one. I feel like it's a waste. I agree with my co-host here that this is going to be a Kansas City game all day. Make sure you tune in Sunday night, or look for the podcast to go live Sunday night for the Monday slate of games, which it'll be available Monday morning. Again, make sure you follow the Distinguished Degents podcast with our hosts Big Bucks Abeda and Money Mansman for any of your betting advice. You heard a lot of their betting advice for this game. I hope you guys go and pull some of those lines, because like I said, these guys will win you some money. They will win you some money. They do a lot of live contests over there as well. Make sure you tune in on their podcast. Man's Man, Abeda, you got anything you want to throw out right here?
Man's Man, you can go ahead.
No, definitely if you enjoyed any of this content, feel free to check us out on X at DGens Podcast and also the Distinguished DGens YouTube channel. Mr. Commissioner Kirkland, thanks for having us on. It was a pleasure. I hope we get to do it again and that we, you know, that you have a good fantasy week and that we have a good betting week. So big week for us. We struggled the first 2 weeks, but I got a good feeling about this one. I think we're going to have a good week, make some good money this week.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. In terms of other player props I missed, Skylar Thompson right now, his over-under stat is at 196.5. We're hammering the under in that spot because we love the Seattle Seahawks in that game. So, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry over is another one. I did lose the number, though. So, just, yeah, take a listen back and listen to the players we talked about, the ones we love. Take a look at those prop lines. We always say with betting, just do your research, do your handicapping. Don't blindly bet because that's how you tend to lose money more than anything. So other than that, Commissioner Kirkland, thanks for having us on the show, man. And as Manza said, check us out at DGens Podcast on X and on our YouTube page as well. We do episodes every Wednesday and Friday. And thanks for having us on, bud.
No problem. It was a pleasure to have you guys on again. You guys have had me over on the DGens Podcast frequently, so I definitely had to get you guys over here, and I'm looking forward to bringing you guys back. Remember, you can download your Dyna Pros podcast on any of your major podcast platforms, Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts. We are available on all platforms, and we will have another show streaming or another show releasing Monday to go over the Monday night games. I appreciate you for taking a moment to download and listen to the podcast. On to the next one. On to the next one. On to the next one.